This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include National Attention Brings Booming Business to Durham 3-Year-Old's Lemonade Stand, and How Community Colleges Will Make North Carolina More Competitive. And we'll begin with National Attention Brings Booming Business to Durham 3-Year-Old's Lemonade Stand. Ava Lewis may only be 3 years old, but her Durham lemonade stand is drawing national attention. The young entrepreneur has set up a lemonade stand in front of her mother's hair salon, the Lather Lounge Hair Studio, at 2902 Hillsborough Road. She's used some of the proceeds to buy diapers and wipes to donate to the Good Samaritan Inn, which operates as a homeless shelter for women and mothers with children in Durham, according to ABC 11, the News and Observer's media partner. Ava's story appeared on ABC's World News Tonight Wednesday night as part of the show's America Strong segment. Ava's story was originally reported August 1st by ABC 11. It has since been picked up by the New York Post, TV One, and other news outlets. Even comedian D.L. Hewley shared a story about the stand to his 2.5 million Facebook followers. She's worldwide now, her mother Maggie Lewis told the News and Observer in a phone interview Thursday. I have people who want something from Vegas, from Ohio. They are charging 50 cents for a small cup and a dollar for a large cup, ABC 11 reported. They now have multiple flavors of lemonade, and the Facebook group has crossed 1,700 followers. Thanks to the newfound attention, Lewis is trying to find ways to ship out the lemonade more quickly. It means more work, more gallons, Lewis said. She has also made a Facebook group for the business called Ava's Lemonade. Lewis said she doesn't know where she will donate the money next earned through Ava's Lemonade. I'm letting God guide us to where we need to go, she said. I really don't know because it happened so fast. It started with cups and now it's gallons. And next, for the bunker business, this is latest boom time. In his pitch to potential buyers, Larry Hall touts his condominium's high ceilings and spacious living rooms. Then there are swimming pools, sauna, and a movie theater. But what really sets the development apart, in his view, is its ability to survive the apocalypse. Hall has converted a former military nuclear missile vault into a luxury condominium built 15 stories into the Earth's crust. He is a leader among a new group of real estate developers investing in the nation's central prairies and western foothills, doomsday capitalist. Americans have, for generations, prepared themselves for society's collapse. They built fallout shelters during the Cold War and basement supply caches ahead of Y2K. But in recent years, personalized disaster prep has grown into a multi-million dollar business, fueled by a seemingly endless stream of new and revamped threats from climate change to terrorism, cyber attacks, and civil unrest. Bunker builders and brokers have emerged as key players in this field, and they see the interior of the country with its wide open spaces as a prime place to build. Aiding them is history. During the Cold War, The military spent billions of dollars constructing nuclear warheads and hiding them in underground lairs around the nation, often in Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Those hideaways, emptied of their bombs, are now on the market, and enterprising civilians are buying them relatively cheap and flipping the properties. Eager customers abound. The 12 apartments in Hall's survival condo, as he calls it, begins at $1.3 million. When he started selling the condos around 2011, he said all the units were sold within months. To Hall and to many in his field, this is a calling, not just a business. I'm saving lives, he said during a recent visit to his bunker, the exact location of which he insisted be kept under wraps. He entered the building's elevator as it began its long descent into the earth. To me, this is something to feel good about. These projects have plenty of skeptics, among them John W. Hoops, a professor of anthropology at the University of Kansas, who spent years studying the myth that the world would end in 2012. Hoops accused doomsday investors of hawking survival porn, which he described as a hyper-masculine fantasy. That danger is near, and a select few will be able to save themselves and their families if they are prepared. Fear sells even better than sex, Hoops said. If you can make people afraid, you can sell them all kinds of stuff, he added, and that includes bunkers. But survival homes now dot America's interior, pulling in clients who are part of a larger movement of people who are choosing to retreat from society or at least ready themselves for escape. Kiki Bandia, 52, a health insurance agent in Castle Rock, Colorado, distanced herself from people she called chicken littles who think the sky is falling. She characterized her membership at a survival community called Fortitude Ranch as a reasonable insurance policy. I don't like to be dependent on anything, be it big government, big food sources, or big pharma, she said. My interest isn't from a place of fear. My interest is from a place of freedom. Bunker clients say they are united not by ideology. Liberals, conservatives, and political agnostics exist side by side in this world, but by a belief that global forces have left societies increasingly vulnerable to large-scale disaster. In Kansas, Hall 62 of Survival Condo has become one of this industry's best-known businessmen, mostly because of the complexity of his operation and his savvy promotion efforts. The condo sits down a country road, past grazing cattle, a wire fence, and a guard in fatigues gripping a rifle. Visitors enter through a concrete dome. Below sit the apartments outfitted with fake windows made of digital screens, the subterranean swimming pool, a dog park, a weapons cache, and storerooms for food. Buyers pay monthly condominium fees of $2,600. Hall has outfitted the building with 5 air filters, connected it to the electrical grid, drilled a well to the local aquifer, and set up diesel generators, a wind turbine, and battery bank, all for backup power. More recently, he has purchased a second Kansas vault. He mostly broke even on the initial project, he says, and squares that interest. And the second one is picking up. Among the potential buyers, he said, are representatives of the Saudi Arabian military who have asked him to draw up plans for an on-site heliport and underground mosque. The Saudi embassy in Washington declined to comment. And next, worried about a recession? Get ready, don't panic, and stay the course. If the threat of a recession gives you pause when it comes to your personal finances, remember now is the time to prepare, not panic. Worries about the economy increased this past week when a fairly reliable recession warning emerged from the bond market. But without a crystal ball, it remains unclear when a recession might hit. Still, financial experts say people should consider taking steps that are beneficial in any economy, but would aid households greatly in a downturn. Check your plan. The long-standing advice remains, do not panic and stay the course on your financial plan. It is sage advice, said Dan Keaty, chief financial planning strategist at TIAA, but it also goes against the grain for many people. It's hard just to do nothing, he said. The best investment strategy is a long-term one. If you buy and sell your investments frequently, you're more likely than not buy and sell based on emotion, panic, or excitement. If you simply cannot sit still, use this pressure as an impetus to check your plan. Are your goals the same? Are your investments allocated where you want them? It makes sense to periodically rebalance your portfolio to ensure your investments have not become too heavily weighted in one segment or another. Say, for example, you started with 60% of your nest egg in stocks and 40% in bonds. The stock portion could have easily jumped to 70% thanks to strong gains in the technology sector. Whatever the portion of your portfolio is in stocks, remember that it can lose 10% or 20% of its value regularly as recessions come and go. That's the price investors have paid historically for the stronger long-term returns of stocks versus bonds. Fight the urge to readjust your portfolio solely based on market conditions. People who sold during the last recession, for example, likely suffered a loss and then either missed out on major stock market gains in subsequent years or had to pay to jump back in. If you originally designed your portfolio to match your long-term investment goals and risk tolerance, stay true to it, Keaty said. If you don't think you can be objective, ask a professional for help. Try not to get too tied up in the ups and downs of the stock market. Even those without money in the market, about half of all U.S. households, might be tempted to see the markets move as a sign of the times, even though it can have little impact on their direct financial wealth. And remember, a recession is a natural part of a market cycle, said Lauren Anastasio, a certified financial planner at SoFi. The advice is don't panic, Anastasio said, but that doesn't mean that there aren't steps to be prepared for whatever is going to come. Add to savings. One of the smartest moves is to build up an emergency fund. These are a great idea at any time for unexpected expenses, but they can become critical in a downturn. A recession typically comes with job losses, and an emergency fund can be a lifeline for many families. Even those with good job security should take heed, as everyone can feel an income pinch during a recession. When companies might eliminate bonuses, reduce overtime, or slow pay increases, Anastasia noted. Experts recommend having enough set aside to cover anywhere from 3 months to 9 months of basic expenses. But nearly 4 in 10 Americans say they are not confident they would be able to pay an emergency expense of $1,000, according to a recent survey by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. So set aside whatever money you can and keep it in an account that you can readily access. Pay off debt. Pay off any high-interest debt, such as credit card balances. Americans dramatically reduced their debt after the last recession, but those debt levels crept back up. This can be costly, as the average interest rate on a credit card is 17.82%, according to Bankrate. It hit a record at 17.86% last month. Paying down that debt will not only reduce the amount paid over time, it also frees available credit. That is important, as banks tend to tighten lending during recessionary periods, so it could be harder to get a loan or a line of credit. Make good choices. Consider holding off on any big purchases like a car or home remodeling if it is a stretch, Anastasio suggested. If you're going to need cash in the next few years, say for the birth of a child, a sabbatical, or a return to school, make sure you have that available and not tied up in something that may lose value. And next, how community colleges will make North Carolina more competitive. More North Carolinians need education beyond high school to prepare for the jobs of today and tomorrow. Recently, leaders in our state agree that we must have a plan to make North Carolina more competitive in the future. Our new statewide educational attainment goal is to have 2 million people with a high-quality college degree or workforce credential by 2030. It's a reach, but a necessary one. All but a handful of states have adopted similar goals. Half of the state's employers say they need more workers with better skills to be able to succeed in an economy being transformed by technology and automation. By next year, more than two-thirds of the jobs in North Carolina will require a degree or training certificate beyond high school. Today, only half of our population has reached that level. In a state with proud auto racing roots, let's put it this way, it's time to put the pedal to the metal. We all need to pitch in to make this goal a reality. It will take quality early childhood education and our K-12 system to make sure our children are ready to learn beyond the age of 18. It will take our universities and community colleges working together to bring in more students, give them the best education, and help them graduate. Our community college system has the scale and business partnerships to be a critical mover in this race. We have been and will increasingly be the ladder to the middle class for so many. Our 58 colleges are within a half hour's drive for most residents. We are nimble and ready to provide our students with short-term programs leading straight to a job or a two-year associate degree that can lead affordably halfway to a university diploma. We want students to know the community college system is ready to roll on this important goal for our state. That's why we've undertaken our first statewide advertising campaign with billboards, digital and print ads, and radio and TV commercials. Funded through generous support from our foundation and the John M. Belk Endowment, the campaign will fully launch this month. The message is straightforward. Choose a higher education focused on getting you hired. Your higher education. The community college system has about 700,000 students. Traditionally, our enrollment has climbed in economic hard times and fallen when the job market is robust. But even though unemployment in North Carolina stands at a low 4%, we know the picture won't always be this rosy. Progress is uneven around the state, with prosperity in our urban areas and many rural areas are left behind. We know too many people are in dead-end jobs or don't earn enough to make ends meet. Some people have dropped out of school and don't know how to restart their education. Community colleges offer people flexible scheduling with access to courses when it's convenient for them. A quarter of our students are online getting their classes whenever they want. We provide value and a more affordable alternative where students can find an array of 275 certificate and degree programs to meet their career goals, from nursing to high-tech manufacturing to culinary arts. Our colleges offer a welcoming environment, personal attention, and services that connect students to childcare, financial aid, and whatever is needed to get them to the finish line. And yes, we have cultural events, sports, student clubs, and other activities outside the classroom. Despite a long tradition of excellence in higher education, North Carolina is in the middle of the pack among the states when it comes to educational attainment. Right now, we have 1.3 million adults who have a college degree or a workforce credential. That's not enough to fill the types of jobs we have today, much less those that will be created tomorrow. Let's get to 2 million. And this commentary is by Peter Hines, and he is president of the North Carolina Community College System and co-chair of the My Future NC Commission. And next, even in Triangle, women underrepresented in technology jobs. Sitting in her computer science classes at NC State University, Meghana Subramaniam was careful not to raise her hand. She saved all of her questions for the professor after class when she knew her classmates couldn't judge her. They'd been coding since they were kids, and she didn't get started in technology until college, and she didn't want to embarrass herself. She knew she already stood out. She was one of the few women in the room surrounded by males. She was also one of the few people of color in the class. She didn't want to call more attention to herself. The percentage of women in computer, engineering, and science occupations is 2% higher in North Carolina than the national average, according to the American Community Survey. Though women account for 48% of the state's working population, the percentage of women in those specific fields is 27%. In the United States, women account for 47% of the workforce and 25% of the computer, engineering, and science fields. The News and Observer conducted an informal survey of local technology companies, with 22 companies responding. The average percentage of women employed at those technology companies was 38%. That's far higher than either the state or national average, but because the sample size is so small, the number can't be extrapolated to cover the region. Jennifer Shevich had 2 degrees in computer science and 9 years of experience working in technology, and yet no one would hire her. For Shevich, coming back to the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom was harder than just being away from her children. She had a master's degree from Columbia University and had kept current on the rapidly changing world of web development. But after 12 years out of the field, no one wanted her. Shevitz had to start again at the bottom and work her way back up. She was eventually hired for an entry-level position at a technology company and now works as a software engineering manager at Pendo, a rapidly growing Raleigh software company. She's in charge of 9 software developers. Of those 9, only 2 are women. The industry has somewhat progressed in terms of gender equality since she first started out, Shevitz said. When I came back into the industry, to be honest, I expected things to have progressed more, she said. At the companies that responded to the News and Observer survey, the percentage of leadership positions held by women was 31%. One company had no women working for it at all, and 4 companies had no women in leadership positions. At a company Chevitz previously worked for, the engineering department agreed to have a department-wide group outing as a team-building experience. One of her co-workers organized the event and sent out an email detailing plans to play laser tag. When Chevitz went to the laser tag company's website to find directions, she found it was full of very attractive, half-dressed women holding big guns. "The idea of it didn't offend me," she said. "It just upset me that that's where we were going as a department." She told some co-workers that it seemed wrong to her to go to a place that was portraying women in that way, especially where when there were women working in the department. The man who planned the trip overheard her and jumped into the conversation, saying he didn't see a problem with it. Chevitz asked him how he thought the place would make women in the department feel, and he responded that he didn't care how women felt. "Sometimes men don't think about things so simple as an outing," Chevitz said. "We wouldn't all go cross-stitching." She also remembers male colleagues treating her differently just because she was a woman. They would speak to her in a condescending tone as if they knew more than she did, but not to the men in the department, she said. "I'm the kind of person who can look past those things," Chevitz said. "I knew what I wanted and tried not to focus on it. I had a vision, I had a goal, and I went towards it." Maria Thompson exudes confidence from joining the Marine Corps as a black woman in the 80s to being in charge of all cybersecurity for the state of North Carolina. Thompson has never been one to back down from a challenge. She now works to instill the same confidence in her 9-year-old daughter and little girls everywhere. The idea of a traditionally male-dominated field didn't scare her. She was used to being one of the only women in the room. "There are times you're questioned whether or not you deserve to be at the table," she said. "You gain respect over time if you hold your ground and educate yourself to make sure you can prove you deserve to be there." We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.